It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we save all 11 of the shots of insensible analysis that they can throw at us. This is Tariq joining you after a long time with a full panel along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
And Karan.
Hey guys.
All right, people. So, new year and finally the entire panel is back after quite a while. We have not had a full panel podcast in a long time. And it's just as well because we have a ton of things to cover since we last had a podcast. We begin, of course, with the most recent events, and we'll bring Vishal straight in because of the reference that we made to the 11th save performance of David De Gea, which probably was, well, we couldn't call it a season-defining performance given how many ups and downs have already been there in Manchester United season. But Manchester United won, Tottenham nil, mostly thanks to David De Gea. Vishal, break it down for us. What is going on with United since Jose Mourinho got fired?
Well, not only thanks, they're playing football again. And I think we've been the first ones to really say this from the opening day of the season, that you let the squad play football, they will win. Because the talent on the squad is not funny in any sense of the way, right? Like, if you really look at the actual depth of the squad, you can actually be among the top three teams in England at this point in time. But it was purely a question of mismanagement at this point in time. And if you look at the way Solskjaer set up this game, I think this was his first tactical warfare that he would have as a United manager. And I think he really came out with flying colours, and you can look at it in the way he set up, right? Like, everybody expected Rashford to be playing down the centre, but the minute he saw Vertonghen start, he pushed Rashford down the right and asked him to run at Vertonghen, and that's exactly where the goal came from as well. The simple fact that Vertonghen could not keep up with Rashford's pace. And another thing that Pochettino did not see coming was the fact that United actually did not use their wings as much as they normally do under Solskjaer. And that really did not give the space to the Spurs wing backs, that is Trippier and I forget the left back's name. So between them, I think they lost out on a lot of attacking in the first half. And on top of that, I think second half, like you said, was a clear Tottenham in the ascendancy. And the one thing that was really good to see was, one, all the chances Tottenham created, all 11 of them were not defensive lapses, which is in itself a great thing for United. But at the same time, David De Gea in that form, you can't do much really. But to really be honest, I think the one thing that Michael Owen pointed out was Tottenham did not take enough risks in their finishing, right? All the 11 shots on goal that they took were relatively safe shots, right? Like, they were just making sure they were on targets. And if you really look at it, it was very, very in the span or in the reach of David De Gea, and it helped his cause. But overall, I think great performance from both the teams in the game. But United obviously took advantage of their... I think they were the superior team in the first half and put them clear superior in the second half. But United made it count, and that's pretty much how it panned out.
Okay, and this leaves us in a very intriguing situation with the top six teams, because this is where we can sort of recap what's happened since we last had a podcast. You know, it has the feels of that scene in Thor Ragnarok where Thor meets Hulk after a long time and says, so much has happened since you left. It's almost that long a time that we have podded. And in the meantime, briefly speaking, Manchester City have lost twice. Liverpool have lost once. The state of the title race currently is, gentlemen, that we have a title race because Manchester City are just 4 points behind Liverpool. A huge, huge game between City and Liverpool. City edging that one and, of course, keeping the title race alive in a sense, because otherwise the difference could have been huge. Tottenham losing crucial ground on that title race. Firstly, in that gap of 3 days where they mounted a title challenge and it came crashing down that quickly. But of course, the loss against United will definitely rankle. Chelsea are falling behind the pace, but they have a massive game coming up this weekend against a team who also are in the mix for the Champions League spots, if not the title race. Like a hyper optimistic Arsenal fan said after the loss last week to West Ham, that I think that's our title hopes done for this season. Onwards to the next one.
Clearly, he's not been on watching Arsenal fan TV.
So, all this puts us in a very intriguing space for this top six. Vishal, quickly get us up to speed on what you think of the trajectories of the top three, and that would be in order: Liverpool, Manchester City, and Tottenham Hotspur.
It's purely down. I think Liverpool definitely still have the advantage of the fact that they have a 4-point advantage. However, I think the only thing they need to really be worried about is the depth of the squad, because injuries seem to be coming really fast for them, and all in the similar position. So. They need to worry about that, but looking at the way they've been playing, I think they should be fine. However, this is going to really test their mantle in terms of this is the first time this team, this squad in general, have been on top and are defending a lead. But it's all in their hands to lose, because 4 points lead is really not a small lead at all in the league, and it's unnecessary pressure on City. If you look at City, while now they are under pressure every week to not even think of dropping a point, or are not in a situation to drop a single point, and. So City are playing catch up, and it's down to Liverpool to really make sure that. This week is a perfect example. Right? They don't need to win by 4 or 5 goals every game. They just need to make sure they get the 3 points, and that's exactly what got done this weekend. So that's exactly what Liverpool need to continue doing. And City are chasing that. City are going to be chasing Liverpool and hoping for a screw up from Liverpool, or hoping for Liverpool to drop points. And there's no other thing or option that. Looking, I don't think they will lose hope yet, because there's a long 16 games left, 16 tough games, and so there's a lot left to be played. But it's Liverpool's to lose at this point in time, and Spurs, I think, are on the downward trajectory, because they can't seem to be. I think only Spurs thought they were in the title challenge to begin with, but beyond them, I don't think they really have too much of a challenge to really place, because now they're about 8 to 9 points off the top of the table. They seem to be dropping points every second game, and now with Harry Kane out till March, I really don't see them scoring too many goals. Son is going to wait to play in the Asian Cup, and so that squad depth is definitely going to be put to the test, and this is not a good sign for them. So if you are a Chelsea, or if you are an Arsenal, you're looking at the number 3 spot at this point in time, or even United for that matter, because they're equal points to Arsenal, but you're looking at the number 3 spot, because the top 2 aren't touchable, but number 3 spot seems to be something that's hasty for the other clear teams down below.
All right, and speaking of the other teams down below, Karan, there is Manchester United, there is, of course, Chelsea, and there is Arsenal. How do you see them approaching these remaining 16 games of the season?
Well, I would say that until about a few weeks back, all three of them had issues. But now, out of the three of them, United are the ones who have at least, you know, corrected a lot of those issues. Yes, Solskjaer has a big part to play in that, in the sense that, like Vishal said, they're finally playing football and finally playing to their strengths, as opposed to, you know, just sticking to a particular tactic which wasn't really suiting anybody. Chelsea have problems up front, Arsenal have problems in defence. So, I think the fact that United have been the first ones to kind of, you know, pull up their socks holds them in good stead. And also, I agree with Vishal that with Tottenham dropping points, what could have been a case where, you know, three teams were vying for one spot has now suddenly opened up one additional spot. So, for all you know, if Chelsea or Arsenal, for that matter, are able to kind of string a few wins together, they could just, you know, push Tottenham out of the top four spot, considering that, you know, along with the loss of form, they've also lost Harry Kane for a month, which is a huge hit for them.
And that is almost classic Tottenham, because with a Champions League clash looming, with a clash with Chelsea in the second leg looming in the cup tie, this could not have been more inopportune. Which brings us, gentlemen, to the big game this weekend. It's amazing how the top of the table, we are not even looking at that, because it's mostly individual games this week. Liverpool face a pretty strong test in a sense, although it's at home against Crystal Palace. Manchester City will be facing Huddersfield, who themselves are in a bit of a crisis with the manager quitting. But the real game, of course, everybody is looking forward to is Chelsea versus Arsenal. Two new managers in charge of these two London clubs, which started with a lot of hope in this season, and they were really burning bright early on, but have hit a bit of a skid now. What kind of a game are we expecting?
I think, one, there is a level, like you said, there is a level of discontentment throughout the club, be it from the managers themselves and be it from the fans themselves. Because I don't think both the managers have gotten the support that they expected from the higher-ups of the club. For example, Emery, who has clear problem with the depth of the squad, is not able to sign up a player. I know he's only asked to take players on loan for the January window, and and Chelsea has signed back everybody in the market, like you said, including Virat Kohli from the Indian cricket team. So the general feeling of discontentment is definitely prevailing around both the clubs, and they both of them seem to be on a downward trajectory. Both of them are not able to string a series of results together, and the players who started off in top form are possibly the December rush has obviously caught up to them. And I don't know, like, this seems to be a very, very tricky game where I think we might not have a goal rush that we might expect, or might be one of those, you know, really tactical battles between both Emery and Sarri. So I really don't know how to call this one, but I think Chelsea, just because currently they might have a better squad on paper, might win this game possibly a 1-0. This is how I look at it.
So you are looking at a 1-0 possibility. Karan, could there be a possibility of something more entertaining, something more dramatic?
We can always hope, can't we? But then for that to happen, to start off with, Chelsea's strikers need to start scoring, which apparently they can't seem to do. And under normal circumstances, I would have said that, you know, with Arsenal usually playing the way they do, and if Chelsea were kind of, you know, firing on all cylinders, it would have been an entertaining game, especially with the good old Sarri ball tactics. But I don't really see that happening. But between the two, who have the bigger issues, yes, even if Chelsea have problems up front with Giroud as well as Morata, they still have players who can at least, you know, get the ball in the back of the net, like Hazard, for example, or, you know, the Willian, etc. But with Arsenal, their defensive deficiencies that they have, they pretty much have nobody who can actually correct whatever deficiencies that they are, you know, struggling with right now, because the squad that they have is what they have to kind of, you know, make do with. So I think for me as well, Chelsea might just, you know, edge it just because of that.
All right, looks like Chelsea's start favourites, but not by much, not especially given how they fared against Newcastle on the weekend. But at the same time, not much can be said of Arsenal either.
For all you know, you might even end up seeing Higuain come that weekend, so with talk still going on.
So it could be interesting, although we're barely recording this three days ahead of that clash on Saturday night. So an absolutely intriguing few weeks set up in the Premier League coming up, and of course not to mention all the three soccer sense teams are alive in the Champions League as well. So this is a stressful few weeks coming up for everybody on the pod. And as we speak, Karan is watching the Super Cup game on a pirated stream with Arabic commentary, because he has to catch up on what's happening in Juventus land. Vishal, we said we'll get the customary Juventus mention in.
Yes, and in Serie A update, Juventus have won the league before it started, so yeah.
Only we can't fit our second customary update here, because Bayern Munich are far away from being able to do that, which they usually do in Germany. Of course, we'll be talking about all of those, and we'll be keeping a track of all of the action in the Premier League to come. We have not shifted our attention yet to the bottom of the table. That's another intriguing part of the table. We have forgotten about it in the rush of this title race, but we shall go there too in the upcoming episodes. This is only the first episode of 2019. That's about all the time we have, though, for this week. You can catch us on Twitter at SenSoccer. You can subscribe to our podcast at Audioboom on audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense or any of the other podcasting platforms that you use. That's all we have time for this week on Soccer Sense. This is Tariq signing off along with the full panel. That will be Karan.
See you guys.
And Vishal.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.